Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here, and I hope that this past week God has been very good to all of you, and has blessed you in many, many ways. I know on the brochure, it's this morning. It says that Harold's supposed to be giving the lesson, and he wasn't able to make this way, so I'm filling in. Which actually, he was going to fill in for me because I thought I was going to have to work today, but it turned out that I didn't have to work today. So I'm here. The scripture verse that I chose, Andrew read, 1 Samuel 24:2-10. If you've ever get the opportunity to read about the life of David, one of the things I appreciate about David is that when he was a young man and he proved he was a valiant warrior, and he became a faithful servant to Saul. He did all that he could to be a good servant to Saul. And Saul, because of his jealousy towards David, would find ways to try destroying him. And it got to the point where David had to flee for his life. And in these scripture verses that were read this morning, he's in the cave. This is a man that has had everything taken away from him. Saul's still pursuing him because he doesn't like the idea that David is so popular. And he's still trying to do him in. And David, when he had the opportunity to hurt or kill Saul, he didn't. I mean, any one of us, when placed in that situation, it would be difficult if our enemy or someone who we trusted and cared for all of a sudden wanted to do us in. And there'd be a lot of hurt and be a lot of bitterness. And David could have easily said, this man is gone. But he didn't. He said, he's the Lord's anointed. And he felt bad when he even cut off a piece of cloth from King Saul, because in a sense he knew that he was defiling a man of that was chosen by God to lead the people of Israel. And that leads to the topic is, of this lesson is called Bound by Bitterness. How many of us, and I'm sure this have been in have had family members have said something to us or done something to us that has hurt us so deeply, our first thought is, I'm going to get them somehow. I'm going to do them in because they've hurt me so deeply. Or a close friend who's betrayed your confidence, and you can't find it in your heart to forgive them. Or an employer who you're trying to be a good steward to all of a sudden tries to do things to undermine you, to make you look bad because of jealousy or insecurity or whatever the reason. And you have this deep hurt you just can't shake. And it just gnaws at you day and night about it. And you just don't know how to deal with it. One of the most devastating human emotions can be feelings of bitterness. It can creep into our lives, and sometimes we do not even know how much it consumes our thought life and feelings. Before we know it, we are captured in its claws of sin and unforgiveness. Perhaps it just starts with a small little hurt feeling over what was said, another's actions, or even a lack of response or apparent concern. We mull it over and over, and it festers in our gut. I mean, we've all had situations like that where our spirit can be crushed. We can get hard feelings about the person that we feel that has offended us. And perhaps those who want to get even at the other person, before long, hurt feelings can lead to a host of other actions, including slander against the offending person or avoidance of that person. Or you start thinking in your mind, well, if I pull out my gun, I might be able to knock them off, but there might be too many witnesses. But you start thinking along those lines. The hurt accomplished may not be even recognized by the offender. Most cases are so concerned about their own little world that they don't care what they said and how they offended you, but you can't let it go. You just keep holding on to it. And they may not even have a clue as to how you're reacting about the situation. And yet the offendee's bitterness digs deeper and deeper into their life. Holding a grudge against another can be so devastating to some that it affects their health. Anger can be a result of bitterness. When angry, your body starts changing a little bit. Your adrenaline flows, your hormones are released into the bloodstream, causing high blood pressure and a faster beating heart rate. Depression, ulcers, heart attack, and a stroke have also been linked with those who are controlled by the areas of bitterness and unforgiveness. Instead of throwing it out, you say, well, that's not right. People aren't going to accept me or approve of me if I start getting angry and yelling at these people, so you hold it in. And that's not good. Not forgiving and not attempting to forget the offense can also lead people to do or say things to the offender that they would never think of doing or say. And bitterness can indeed bind a person's life. All of us have done wrongs at some time or another, and hurt other people by what we've said, what we've done. Some people are really good and say, well, the old expression, when someone says something, be like a duck in water and let it just roll off your back. You know, and some people are really good at that. They move on and just go about their life. And others just keep stewing, and they just never let it go. And what another has done to them. So, you know, they start thinking like, well, yeah, 6 years ago, this person did me wrong, and I've never forgotten about it. And I'm going to get him someday. 6 years ago. And he should have found a way to let it go, and he couldn't. The Bible has much to say about bitterness and about forgiving one another. Here's a glimpse of what is said in the Bible. First, God says not to be bitter and hold a grudge. And it's not that easy to not be bitter when you get hurt or offended. It's often said, this is true, but no sin is easy to stop. And in order to have a healthy life and a good relationship with God, bitterness has to be halted. In Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The Bible says, forgive those who wronged you. In Luke 17:3, it says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Having bitterness within a person's heart tends to affect more the person who's holding the bitterness than the person who created the bitterness. You ever find that? Because the person, like I just mentioned, whoever created the bitterness, they move on with their life. They don't care. They're just going about. But the person who holds it, it just keeps festering within. The first step to healing is forgiving those who wronged you. Another point, Christ knows all you did, yet he still has forgiven you for all you have done, and if you are saved. And in John 3:16, and in Ephesians 4:32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forbearing, Colossians 3:13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also you do likewise. If we call ourselves Christians and we're seeking to be like Christ, and if Christ can forgive us, why can't we forgive those who've hurt us? And another thought to consider is, do not worry and occupy your thoughts with what another has done to you. The gateway to bitterness is the thought gate. Once the thought gets in and is contemplated on, it does more damage the more it is entertained in one's thought life. And so do not let it dwell yourself. Do not dwell yourself on it. And stop thinking about it before it gets out of hand. In Proverbs 24:19, it says, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. When others do not hold themselves accountable to God, they can say and do whatever they want to, and they don't care what the consequences are because they're holding themselves up as the standard. But if you're trying to hold yourself up accountable to God, you know that everything you say and do in this world, you're going to have to answer to eventually. And so do you want to have that sense of bitterness towards your brother or your neighbor, your friend, when you come before God and say, well, I can't forgive him. They don't deserve forgiveness. God could say the same and says, well, you don't either, but I gave it to you. Another point to consider is do not even start entertaining thoughts of getting even. You say, not that I will do to him as he has done to me. I will rent, but according to Proverbs 24:29, go, I will render to the man according to his work. Finally, it says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. That's in 1 Peter 3:8. If you think what the other person has done to you is wrong, how is it any better if you do the same or similar hurtful thing to them? I believe God wants us to stand up against evil, but he doesn't want us to stand up evil so that with the purpose of I am being vindicated, but with the purpose of correcting a wrong and restoring a situation so it's back to what it was before, or the ultimate goal is to bring those individuals back closer to God. And another thought is, you certainly have wronged others, even unintentionally. You certainly want to be forgiven by others and the Lord, so forgive those that have wronged you. And in Matthew 6:12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in Mark 11:25-26, it says, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if you ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Goes on tight. Forgive them then. Another thought is forgive them even if they do the offense more than once. In Luke 17:4, it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. When someone wrongs us, our goal should be we want to restore the relationship as we would want to restore a relationship when we have hurt others. The only getting even God allows is to be nice to the offender. In Proverbs 25:21-22, it says, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt keep coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. By doing this, taking this kind of attitude of when someone wrongs us and we try forgiving them, it promotes healing. It promotes healing within, and it promotes healing with our establishing a relationship with our brother, our friend, our neighbor, our family member. In Matthew 5:44-45, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Romans 12:14, it says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And because recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Proverbs 12:17. If there's any getting even to be done, God will do it, not you. As he says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When your enemy suffers, another point for healing is when your enemy suffers, don't be happy when bad things happen to him and start gloating and saying, aha, you got what you deserved. And rejoice not when your enemy falls, but then let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Proverbs 24:17-18. Unforgiveness and the bitterness that often follows does not help matters, nor change anything. The hurt feelings of bringing the matter up repeatedly certainly digs its trap deeper and deeper, And the only way to get peace is to forgive. When I have been told by people who've been in combat, when someone dies, an enemy, when they kill an enemy, initially some people, especially less experienced, might rejoice and be happy that they've killed their enemy. But the people who've been involved where they have to kill a lot, there's a certain sadness because they've had to take a life away. They could have possibly been, they could have done good to other people in other times, in other circumstances. And there should be, so when you're, something happens to your enemy, rather than be rejoicing and dancing in the streets, you should have a certain sorrow or sadness. Not so that it's, because you feel bad about them and feel at the how it is, may have affected the lives of others that they were entrusted to serve at one time in their life. So we shouldn't be gloating and rejoicing when our enemy suffers, but we should think in terms of how can we restore them to draw closer back to God and restore the situation so that they are, so that there's a healing that occurs from within and from that situation. Finally, it's not easy for you to say, you don't know what the person did to me. You're right. Nobody knows what this person did to me or what that person did to you. Each of us have different situations, frustration and bitterness that it's may be difficult to relate. But I do know that carrying and harboring that bitterness is going to hurt you and others around you, and your only choices are to let it fester or to get rid of it. Hopefully you truly want to get rid of it. And although you hear again and again to forget, most of us as humans cannot forget. Only God can forget, and when he chooses, we may not be able to get it out of our minds, but we can do our best not to let it come to mind. How many of you have ever had an accident where you've gotten cut badly and it hurt, and it was there for a long period of time, and initially it's painful? But if it's treated properly, if the wound is treated properly, it may turn into a clean scar. It doesn't hurt anymore, but it's there, and you always remember it, but you don't dwell on it. And this is the same thing when we experience situations where people wronged us. We ourselves can't necessarily. I don't really believe that man can be healed on his own merit. I think when you're hurting deeply, you have to go to God, because only God, who created us, can heal us, heal that deep hurt that we experience from when someone does wrong to us, whether they say something wrong or they do something in a way that to physically harm us. We can't get over the situations when someone, like you read in the news, where a child gets shot in the head because somebody wanted to do it. How does the family react to that? They can't get over it on their own. They can only ask God to heal them, because only situations like that, I don't believe we as people can get over that situation on our own. We need to go to a higher source. We need to go to our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and ask to pray to forgive the person who did us wrong and ask for healing. And how do we do that? Our Savior fought off temptation with Scriptures. That is the only remedy for any battle. When the thought enters your mind, repeat a verse, hopefully one that is about the sin you're tempted with, and quote it repeatedly. It is hard to harbor thoughts of darkness and sin when your mind is flooded with light. Praying about the problem and seeking God's solution are the only way to have victory over your hurt feelings. And we all battle over hurt feelings. It is our choice how we handle them. And God is clear that we should not let those temptations rule and destroy our life. Instead of getting bitter and even blaming God about a matter, it is the time to get close to him. It is during those hard times that we learn of his mercy and grace. That's the end of my lesson. If anyone has any concerns or feels that they need to come forward, or if they would like to become baptized into Christ today, please do so as Roger leads us today.